It used to be a chill. It's all up in smoke. I think I'm still fun. Parenting's a joke.
Hello, listeners. This is Parenting is a Joke. I'm a confused tulip bulb named Ophira Eisenberg. And on this show, we bring together professional funny people and stand-up comics to talk about their creative careers and what it is like to manage the unpredictability of an entertainment job with the unpredictability of raising kids. Yeah. How the fuck are they doing it? Speaking of an entertainment job, I did a show last night for a mindfulness organization. Kind of cool. And after my set, the organizer said to me, "Thank you so much for bringing all of your great energy and creating some joy." And I was like, "Thanks." But I didn't hear the word funny. Found a lot of other words. But was it funny? So I'm mindful about that right now. My guest today is hilarious. She is a comic that's been blowing up all over the UK over the past year, and she's the mom of twin boys. She talks about her recent very long tour, and she shared the sweet sounds of her morning routine.
Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Can you put your shoes on? Right, we're leaving in 10 minutes. Can you put your shoes on? Why haven't you got your shoes on? Put your shoes. Have you cleaned your teeth? Go upstairs and clean your teeth. Put your shoes on. Clean your teeth. Put your shoes on. On a loop for about half an hour every morning.
More with me and my new pal, Jen Brister, right after this commercial break. So old school.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
So coming up, I talked to the hilarious Jen Brister. I introed her earlier as saying she was my pal, but here's the truth. On this podcast, in most cases, I know my guests. We've met before. We've worked together. Many of them are my friends. But I have never met Jen because she lives on a different continent. I've just seen clips of her work, and I really like her comedy. And of course, I love her accent. But let me tell you this. After I interviewed her for an hour, I think we'd be friends. I mean, I think we're mom friends. I'm just going to say it. I think we did it. And I would love to have her in my life in reality. I mean, because I have some great friends here in New York. But what I would love these days is to have some neighborhood mom friends. You know how you either have like a really good rhythm and rapport with someone, or you don't. I am dealing with that right now because I try my ass off with the other moms at pickup and drop off. Okay, it's a little needy, but I try so hard and I am just flat out bombing in conversation, left, right, and center. And then I get really nervous. So I say a bunch of stupid shit. Like, you know that thing where someone is just not catching the vibe of a convo and it's really awkward? That person is me. For example, the other day, I thought a group of us were venting, you know, like being real. And I said, kids, can't take them anywhere and you can't stick them in a bag. Now, admittedly, not a killer bit, but wow, did it flatline. I mean, not even a pity laugh or a thin smile of acknowledgement. So I just felt all awkward, and I tried to save it by saying, and in this neighborhood, it would have to be one of those Fur Raven Kaken backpacks, right? You know, the Swedish company? I mean, they really looked at me like I was the worst person alive. And then two of them struck up a new conversation with each other. And another one said to me, Kaken means backpack, you know? And I said, oh, cool. Fun fact. I didn't know that. Thanks. And then she said to one of the other parents that she'd see her later, but had to go. No one else was talking to me. So I just weakly waved and walked away, muttering under my breath, you know what? I don't want to be your friends anyway. But you know who I am friends with? Jed Brister. And you will be too. Here's our conversation.
My guest is coming to me right now from, as they say, across the pond. She has multiple comedy specials, including Waves, The Optimist, and Meaningless, my favorite titles. She's also the host of the amazingly titled podcast, Women Talking Bullocks, Jen Brister.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. And there's nothing I love more than hearing a North American person say the word bollocks. I like it.
I'm so self-conscious about saying it at all. Truly.
Yeah. Why? Why would you be self-conscious? I suppose I've made it self-conscious, have I?
It's like when I hear a British person say, taking the piss. It is so much more lyrical.
Taking the piss. Yeah. I think there's lots of banter that we have. And there's a particular word. I won't say it. But that can be used quite affectionately in the UK. But I think if you said it in the US, people would be like, cancel her.
Oh, yeah. It's seen as the worst word of all time.
Listen, it can be used as an insult. It's very much about the word that you use that prefixes it. I mean, you go into a lot of trouble just not to say the word. But
it's fine.
You get, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If this was my podcast, I'd have said it 16 times by now.
But well, we could say it. I just, you know, we'll say it at the end. Let's let the people trust in us first, and then we'll say it at the end.
You can't let it out too soon. You absolutely won't.
You have two kids. Correct.
Yes, I've got twin boys, yes.
Twin boys. What are their ages?
They are, God, what are they? Nine. They're nine. Wow. That was shocking, wasn't it? Not being able to remember my children's age. They're nine. And when you said ages, I thought, oh, yeah, one of them's definitely nine. What is the other one? They're twins, actually, Jen. They are twins.
Although, are they aware that one was born before the other and that kind of classic cute thing you hear about twins where it's like, I was born 1 second before you.
Yes,
so.
And the one that is older, he doesn't half like to lean into that. Because he's also the smaller one. So he's like, I might be the smallest, but I'm still the oldest. So you've got to listen to your big brother. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it was 90 seconds, mate, but sure.
It's amazing the hierarchy. It's just immediate. Any reason to grapple for power?
Listen, we're still doing it as adults, aren't we?
It's
the whole status game. I'm still walking into green rooms and screaming, do you know who I am, at the top of my voice. So far, nobody absolutely has acknowledged me.
You know, I was reading, you know, as I do with any guest, I read up about them beforehand. And I was reading an interview, and this interviewer asked you the most tone-deaf question, I think, and only asked to a woman who is a comic, do you bring your kids on tour?
Oh, God. This is so true. You're absolutely right. Who's looking after the children? You're here. Where are the kids? We've got a cupboard under the stairs and I've given them a box of cornflakes and I'll be back in 3 days. So I think they'll be all right. I mean, what? Firstly, none of your fucking business. And it's true. No one ever asks a male comedian. So the kids, what's happening with them?
Right? Yeah, never.
Who's looking after the children? It's so weird that we still get asked these tedious questions.
Oh,
why don't you ask me about my job? You know, when you think about, I don't know how long you've been going, Afira, but I'm assuming you've been going for a very long time.
A while. Yeah. I should be better. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, same, frankly. I think about, like, as we were, you know, as we were coming up, the kind of sexism that we had to face, not just in green rooms and from audience members, but from promoters and, you know, other comedians. It's such a different time in a way that women that are doing comedy now just would not put up with it. But yeah, still getting asked those questions. It's like, I feel like I just need to have like a, just a, I don't know, like a blanket response for all those people.
I know,
I don't
like
know what
a,
that response is.
Like the, like a auto response, like on email,
yes,
when you get one of those vacation ones.
Maybe we could record it on our phones and go, sorry, I don't have time to speak to you. I've recorded something on my phone. I don't know if you could just have a little listen to that while I'm going to go to the bar. I'll come back and pick my phone up in a minute. And it just sort of plays out, just goes, listen, you prick, I'm not having this conversation with you. It's 2024. I've had this conversation over and over and over. And then I come back and we pick up our phones and go, is that, I don't know if that helps.
And then, that'd be great. So you wrote a book called The Other Mother about same gender parenthood. And you were the non-biological parent. So
yes,
first of all, I want to ask, did you always want to be a parent?
I did.
Okay, that's a no.
I did. I think a lot of people were like, most of my friends were like, oh, I just kind of, just sort of happened. I mean, let's be honest, with lesbians, it doesn't happen by accident. So you better be invested at the beginning, because otherwise, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
So I did want to be a parent. I don't think I cared about the biology of it ever. And I think that that was I feel like quite a big drive or catalyst for a lot of my friends getting pregnant, is that they really wanted to be pregnant. Whereas I was like, oh, I love the idea of children. The whole pregnancy bit. Can I skip that? And guess what? You can if you're a lesbot. You can. And I was very fortunate that my partner, Chloe, she really wanted to be pregnant. So I was like, this is perfect. We're not going to argue about it. There's not going to be any kind of me going, you're pregnant, I'm so jealous. It was, you go through this horrific, what looks like from the outside experience. I watch and support, obviously I'm very supportive. You give birth, that also, by the way, doesn't look great. And then we have children and then it evens out again, because I think Chloe did all the hard work at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then once the kids are born, I've made up for it since then.
Right. Parenthood is much more than just getting the kids into earth.
They stick around, don't they, the kids? They don't just pop out to the shops and, see in a couple of days and just going, they're just every day, they're sort of there.
I will tell you, I was a little naive as to the amount of time that I need to spend child rearing.
With them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was naive about, and I've talked about this on stage, but I think I thought that I'd want to be with them all the time. I genuinely thought that. I mean, this is going to make me sound like such a knob.
No. This is what we're talking about.
What are you talking about, you absolute spoon? I thought as soon as my children are born, I'm going to feel such a connection, such a bond, and I will want to be in their company all of the time, and I will love them, and I will only buy them wooden toys, and we will do crafts, and we will learn about the trees and the leaves, and we will spend time in nature. And anyway, get to fuck. I've literally strapped an iPad to their face and just gone, give me a minute, okay? It's hard, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I feel a lot of guilt when I leave to go do a show that requires like a plane trip or a long car trip. And always the day before I'm going on that trip, I'm like, I cannot wait to fucking leave.
It's such a weird thing. Do you think male comics have the same guilt about going away?
No.
No, I don't think they do either. And I feel like, I don't know. There's a whole world of pain where I've seen, and also, by the way, I feel like I'm sort of taking advantage of this privilege. But when I see women, you know, who are in relationships with men, doing the job that we do, and trying to, you know, muddle through with their career and with their being a partner, and the amount of mental load that they have to carry as a mother, you know, to do all the stuff, and often I'm like, sorry. I find myself thinking, so what is your husband doing? Because you appear to be doing
all of it.
Absolutely everything. So I was just wondering, what is he doing? Oh, he does golf on a Thursday. I mean, get to fuck. Nail his testicles to the bedroom floor and tell him he's got to get on and pick up this shit. Because and also, like, we have this Edinburgh Festival. Have you done it?
Yeah, a long time ago. Want to come back, but it's amazing. Hard on parents, though.
It's so hard on parents. Okay, so really hard on parents, okay? And you remember how long it is.
Yes.
It's long.
Long.
Some might say too long. No, I'm saying it. But anyway, If you don't know about the Edinburgh Festival, it takes up the entire month of August. And we go up there as comedians, and it's sort of like a trade fair for us to say, hey, look, this is what I can do. And you're not just doing your show, you do an hour show, but also you might be doing three or four other gigs in the night to promote your show. Imagine doing that, but you have children with you. So what I see on the rare occasion that you see couples who are comedians and they have children, I'll see my, you know, female comedians having to do, you know, their show, their PR, their but all of the childcare. And I'm like, I don't understand what your partner is doing. You both have shows on. Why do you have to pick up all of it? I don't understand.
This is so interesting because I would love to go back to Edinburgh and I've been talking about it for years, but I honestly cannot figure out how to do it with a kid.
I think it's one of those things where you just kind of have to wait until they've grown up.
Well, I mean,
we have to wait till we're nearly dead and then our careers can
begin.
That's
what I do say. I want to know how you kind of figure it out with your own life because I see you performing a ton. So how do you divvy up your day in your life with your parenting skills?
And here's where we go back to what I was saying at the beginning about that privilege of being in a relationship with a woman is that before the tour started, we had had a deal where I'd said, you know, this is what the tour is going to involve. This is how long it's going to last. And this is what I'm going to do. And originally it was going to start in September 2022 and end in February 23. And it ended up finishing in November 23. But at the beginning, it was like, can I do this? This is what I think I'm going to make on average. I think it'll be worth it. Can we fit this in with whatever you're doing? And Chloe was like, yes, we absolutely can. We've been together 18 years. She knows what my job is.
Yeah, you don't have to explain it. It's not like, it takes place
what?
At night.
You need to leave the house and go away to other cities to do your job. She made it possible for me to do that. And so she then took on the mental load and did all of the, I'm going to say, the proper work, the proper graft at home with the children, as well as, you know, doing sort of working on her job and her career as well. So she was doing everything. And then I was going off being a twat out in different and cities. So that is how we could do it. And honestly, perhaps if I was in a heterosexual relationship, honestly, I don't think that tour would have been as long as that. And I don't think I would have been able to do as much as I did. I was just really lucky, really fortunate that I've got such a supportive partner who gets what I do and really does bend to fit my stupid schedule. And then obviously as it started to snowball, she was like, go and make us some big hard cash, bitch. And I was like, babe, I will.
Did you feel, you know, for lack of a better word, did you feel any guilt of like, oh, I'm missing out on this with the kids or I'm missing out with that?
Yeah. I mean, big time. Big time. Oh, you've got to be really careful because you stop moaning about stuff that's when your things are going well.
It's okay. It's part of it.
Yes. It's a pain in the ass. Yeah. Because you're away all of the time. And I had it coupled with the fact that my mum died just before I started my tour. Well, just sort of before I started my tour, my mum died.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I was sort of grieving. I wasn't sort of grieving. I was grieving. And I was missing my family and I was missing my children. And then the tour just didn't end. It just kept going. And I didn't feel like I could curtail it. I didn't feel I could stop it because I was like, I don't know how. When you've been going for as long as I have and you've been struggling to get audiences, when they arrive, you don't suddenly go, no, we're not doing this now. You just go, oh, I guess now is the time.
We'll figure it out.
This is my moment. That's what happened. But I don't say this to friends because they don't want to hear it. But like other comedians, I said it was like I missed out on a whole year, really, because I was on the road solidly for a year, which sounds glamorous, but you know is not.
Oh,
you don't eat well.
No.
You don't sleep well. You don't see your friends. You don't see your family.
It's a total altered reality.
God.
Do you do the FaceTime with the family on occasion or?
Oh, I've got some hilarious FaceTime photographs of my children where I'm talking to them and one of them will just have their hand. Hi, Mama. How are you? And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Are you having a nice time? You're like, oh, this isn't the FaceTime I wanted.
No.
It's quite hard to connect with your children on FaceTime,
isn't
it?
Brutal. I'm like, how was your day? And then all of a sudden my kid puts like a poop emoji over my face.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, got it.
They're constantly playing with how big their face is. Their face is always bigger than your face. That's very important. Exactly. They see themselves. They don't look at you once.
Do you bring them gifts?
Well, look, if I had to bring them gifts every time I left the house, they've got enough shit. Do you know what I mean? It's already like landfill. Their whole bedroom is landfill, just plastic crap.
Oh my God.
You know?
When you were going through the process of IVF and then, you know, through to obviously the birth of the children, as a same-sex couple, did you have to deal with a lot of tone deaf, like, no, this is where I belong. Let me explain to you again, this is where I belong.
Within the medical profession?
Yes.
I mean, there was a bit of tone deaf stuff in that they didn't really know how to talk to me. In that way, where it's just like a, you know, like a meaningful friend who's just popped in. It's like a supportive friend, really.
Yeah.
I think that's how they treated me as opposed to the other parent. The doctors, holy crap, these people, they were like robots. I mean, like, you could literally hear. I was like, have you ever spoken to a human being before? Because this is like when we went, and it's just as well, as I said to you, I wasn't interested in being the pregnant one. But
yeah.
I remember we went to the first appointment we had with the second clinic that we went to. And he said, oh, hello, how old are you? And I said, oh, I'm nearly 37. And he went, oh, no. And he said,
Jesus.
And my girlfriend, he said, how old are you? And she said, oh, I'm, because our birthdays are very close. She went, I'm nearly 35. And he went, oh, better. He goes, we won't bother with you. Your eggs will probably be no good. Anyway, so I think we should just start with you. I mean, unless you want to waste your money, I guess we could go with you. And I was sat there going, oh, this is a bit much. I mean, I know I said I didn't want to, but I mean, frankly, I don't know if you know, I probably have absolutely banging eggs. I'm sure I didn't actually. They're probably like dust. But the point is, have a little bit of...
Oh, my God.
Read the room here. Constantly being referred to as geriatric when you're in your 30s is a little hard to hear.
Well, I think now you get referred to that after 18 or something like that. I feel like they've really...
I know. I wonder if the next generation are going to have kids a lot earlier, energy-wise. I had so much energy in my 20s, which I just took for granted. And now I'm very much leaving my 40s. If my kids say, my kids are constantly wanting to play games that involve running. I try to explain to them. I said, I gave up running about 22 years ago. And I'm not about to start up again now. Okay.
They're super physical. They always want to do.
Oh, yeah. They want to run. They want to play. They want to climb. They're constantly fighting. They're jumping on my back. They're flexing their muscles. That's the new thing. Getting tops off and showing me their six packs.
What? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's only because, you know, when boys, they've got no body fat on them.
I know.
You can probably see every single muscle that's coming through.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want a six pack. Look how strong I am. I'm so strong. And you have to feel their muscles and go, oh, darling, you are strong.
Oh, look at that. Hard. Hard as a rock.
Oh. Now let's talk about your feelings.
And they're like, why? Smash.
Yeah, I need a poo. Bye. Okay.
Do you guys think a lot about how do we raise the boys that we want to see in this new society? Are we trying to direct their attention towards this kind of stuff or direct their attention? Or is it just like, you know what, they're people, they'll figure it out.
A bit of both, really. One of my sons has started to say things like, women. And I'm like, no, that's unacceptable. I said, why do you keep saying, women? What does that mean? And he said, he goes, I don't know. I said, well, stop saying it then. I said, do you know who are women? I said, the two people that cook for you, that do all your washing, that provide for you, that earn money for you, that take you on holiday, that do everything for you. Those women, that's us, okay? So if you've got a problem with women, maybe you need to pack your bags and find somewhere else to live. And maybe you can live with some men if that's better for you.
How did that go over?
They were like, oh, no, I don't want to leave, Mama. I was like, good. So, you know,
oh,
in my
good.
Head, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I feel like if I said that to my son, he would have gone, see what I'm talking about? Women.
Well, maybe they're a year away from that. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
They've got two mums and they still say chauvinistic stuff. They hear it in the playground.
Exactly.
They hang out with boys. What's popular with young men at the moment? You know, misogynistic dickheads.
Yeah, it's
they're the
great.
Ones that are getting the attention of young men. And I suppose all of us have to take a bit of responsibility to... to talk to our children and to give them the other side and to remind them of who they are, where they came from, and what your family value system is. And outside of that, I don't really know what else you can do. Well, I mean, we can kidnap them, which is something I've considered.
Yeah, but where do you go?
Lesvos. I don't know.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
How old is your son?
He's 8.
Right, so we're about the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how you feel about this, but we are trying to do the delaying the mobile phone thing.
Oh, yeah. So...
I think this can be a bit of a controversial conversation to have, but given the amount of stuff that we know about how phones affect children and their brains and their development and their emotional welfare, I feel like I would be irresponsible if I was to say, you're 12 now, here's something that can fuck you up. Knowing my children as they do, they'd be on Pornhub day one, okay? So I just think that's going to be, I think, one of the ways that we try to mitigate that.
Yes.
Misogyny.
Does not have a phone. He does have an iPad that we have the parental controls tapped on. But he still watches YouTube and mostly garbage on YouTube. And I say garbage. It's just so...
It is garbage.
It is garbage because it's mostly watching boys play these video games.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's garbage. And they're sort of trash talking the entire time.
Yes. What is that? To begin with, I didn't mind because it was Minecraft. And they were like, I love Minecraft. And I was like, okay, great. I can see the educational value of Minecraft.
Yeah.
But now they're playing games. They're playing this basketball game. I can't even tell you what it's called. This is bad parenting on my part. I think it's kind of like basketball NBA 2K mobile or something.
Great.
And when I watch them play it, it's just them playing basketball and it seems perfectly... I think it's one of those games that if you have money, you can end up spending money on it, but they haven't got any money, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And then they watched someone play this game. And I had to like go, is this on YouTube Kids? Because this guy is obnoxious.
They're all obnoxious.
I'm going to take this guy out, the motherfucker. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the screens is that if I need to ever like, you know, discipline them, I just have to bring up the screens and
totally.
They literally...
It's so
collapse
sad.
Into a heap. I know.
I could take away every toy.
They wouldn't care.
The pillow from his bed. I could say you sleep on the ground. I could literally say that. He'd be like, cool. Can the pillow be my iPad?
Oh, God. I'm so glad that you said that because I said to Chloe, I think our children actually have a problem.
But then again, Jen, maybe the joke's on us because, it, you know, all the jobs will be like, did you spend 9 hours a week on an iPad growing up? Because that's what we're looking for.
I mean, they're certainly not going to be going into manufacturing, are they? So, yeah, you're probably right.
You know, you grew up with brothers. You have three brothers. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And so, and how are you youngest, oldest? Where do you fall in the lineup there?
I am second. So, yeah, okay. Number two. Yeah.
And are you guys close?
Yeah, we're all sort of scattered around now. Yeah. But when we were growing up, yeah, we were all pretty close. And we're quite very close in age.
Would you say your household, was it strict?
Oh, very. Okay. Very Spanish mum, very strict. Yeah. Loads of rules. Too many rules, if anything. But yeah, my mum had a very, I think in a way that maybe I don't, but had a very clear idea of what her children were going to do, where they were going to get to, what they were going to achieve, and she was going to make sure we did it.
Oh,
and
really?
I guess immigrant parents are a bit like that, aren't they? They have huge ambition for their children because they didn't have those opportunities. Well, my mom certainly didn't have any opportunities growing up. So she was like very ambitious for us.
What was her ambition for you?
Her ambition for me was to be financially independent and to never, ever, ever. Her thing was you never, ever, ever have a joint account with. Well, this was when my mum thought I was straight. Basically, never, ever, ever have a joint account with a man. You always have your own money. You never, ever let him near your money. And for me to have a career, I don't think she did not care what the career was, but she just wanted me to be able to, like, if anything happened in the relationship, that I could look after myself. I think that was her biggest ambition for me.
Was she controlled by your father's purse strings?
Yes. I mean, she eventually got out from under that, but she did have to work really hard to get out from under it. I guess, in a way, that was her legacy for me, was to look after the pennies and the pounds to look after themselves, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. And you did. What would you say is one of the more extravagant things you've perhaps purchased for your children?
Oh, I mean, those pricks get everything. whatever they want. We just bought them a Switch, which I know isn't a huge amount of money, but it's probably the thing that is the most expensive thing that we bought for them.
Yes.
That is a tangible thing.
And how are you monitoring that? Tell me.
Well, they have zero interest in it because they like the games that they play on their iPad.
Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't have fucking bothered. But I said to my son, why don't we play a game in a way to encourage him to play? I said, should we play a bit of Mario Kart? He went, ugh, Mario Kart? That's for losers. I hate Mario Kart. And I was like, I am going to throw you in the bin. You. That was the game that they kept on saying, Mama, all we want to do is play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Turns out that's a lie.
This is amazing. My son every day asks me for a Switch, and I say no. But I'm starting to change my mind because I see this garbage on the iPad, and I'm like, at least
that's why we got it.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't play the garbage on the iPad.
Yes. And now they want the garbage on the iPad.
They just want the garbage on the iPad. This bloody NBA mobile game. Because they're obsessed with basketball, which is hilarious that my children are obsessed with basketball because it's not a game
that has
any traction here in this country.
So American.
Almost impossible to find a match. You're not going to believe this, but the BBC have just started to play NBA games on iPlayer.
Yeah.
Which is a way of watching BBC shows that have already gone out. These children they know all the NBA players. They know who their favorites are. They know all the they've got all the stats. And I'm like, you're nine.
That's
and you live in the UK.
Hilarious.
We took them to see the Harlem Globetrotters
a
couple of weeks ago. They loved it, but they actually thought that was a genuine game, which was hilarious. They were like, they kept saying things like this to me. They're like, Mama, it's like the Harlem Globetrotters can read each other's minds. I went, yes, it's not like it's a choreographed dance routine of basketball that they've been practicing for months on end in order to create a show. It's that they read each other's minds.
So sweet. That is so sweet.
Yeah.
Now, I know I have to let you be whisked away in a couple minutes because you have parent duties, parent-teacher interviews, I believe.
Parent-teacher things, yeah.
Just a couple quick rapid fires before I whisk you away. What was the last thing you yelled at your kids about?
I mean, genuinely, what I thought was probably this morning, put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Can you put your shoes on? Right, we're leaving in 10 minutes. Can you put your shoes on? Why haven't you got your shoes on? Put your shoes. Have you cleaned your teeth? Go upstairs and clean your teeth. Put your shoes on. Clean your teeth. Put your shoes on a loop for about half an hour every morning.
We may have the same child. This sounds exactly, it's an hour of put your shoes, brush your teeth. Where's your coat?
Where's your coat? Yeah, yeah. Can you take your bag? I'm not carrying your bag. Can you pick up your bag, please? And what? Both shoes. Well, you're going to have to do your, well, if you can't do your laces up by now, that's on you, babe. Oh. It's like that, yeah. But other than that, it's when they get a ball, any kind of ball.
Yeah.
And because they're obsessed with basketball, they try to slam dunk that ball on my head. Okay, so the whole point is you get a ball, whatever ball it is, to be fair, it's usually a spongy ball, and then they just try to jump as high as they can, and my head is the basket net, and then they bang, straight onto my head. I confiscate the ball. The next day, the ball arrives, slam dunk on my head. Yeah.
Who would you say is the disciplinarian? Like, who's the stricter parent?
Oh, probably me.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the time I'm the one that's going, this is unacceptable behaviour. How dare you? But they look at you like,
ugh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they do these things like, eventually she will stop talking if I just look up into the sky.
And nod occasionally.
No, she's still talking. I don't feel like I've got the authority that my mom had.
No, me neither. Which twin do you like better?
Oh, it varies day to day. Mm-hmm. The one I like the most is whoever is not being a complete bellend.
Right.
That is the one I'm like, oh, you. I love you the most today.
You get a green room rider at the theatres, right?
Do I? No. I mean, we put a rider out there. Has it ever turned up? Absolutely not.
No. Is there anything in there that you really are like, no, I'm serious about this, a coffee or anything like that?
Some tap water, please. Is that too much? The amount of times I've turned up and I've said, is there any tap water? And they go, oh, okay, we'll see what we can do. Oh, and it's like, fucking hell. If anyone thinks that this job is glamorous, please note.
We are laughing too hard at that. And in case for our listeners, you were wondering, let's just pay off the game as we close, Jen. What word we were alluding to right at the very beginning?
Oh, can't.
It's the best.
It's the best word. And if you are offended, grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Because all we do is get more cunty.
Yeah.
It's true.
As the day goes on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, pleasure.
Have a great time at Parent Night.
Yes, I will. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a friend who's a parent, who also works too much and loves a British accent, send them this episode immediately. If you haven't yet, subscribe to this podcast. That's very helpful, and help us further by stopping by Apple Podcasts, posting a review, giving us a rating. If you don't know what to rate us, just go for 5 stars. It really does help us. Thank you. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Parenting is a Joke, on X at Parenting Joke. And you can subscribe to our Substack. We have different content every single week. It's ridiculous. Just go to Substack and search for Parenting is a Joke. Hey, if you're in New York or New Jersey and you would like to see me live, I'm performing around town and also in Weehawken, New Jersey. What a great name for a place, Weehawken. I'm also part of Stand Up with Pete Dominic's Stand Up Pod Jam in Vegas on March 22nd and 23rd. Find details to all of this stuff by going to my website, OphiraEisenberg.com. Follow me everywhere at OphiraE. And if you're wondering how the push-up challenge is going, I'm up to 45 push-ups, people. You can see that daily in my IG stories. Follow me at OphiraE. It's my accountability. Our episode is produced by me and Julie Smith-Clem. Our editor is Nita Porzuki. Our sound designer is Tina Toby Mack. Our digital marketing is done by Laura Vogel. Our video editor is Melissa Weiss. Our overqualified intern is Jeffrey Kaufman. Thanks to all the engineers at CityVox. And we'll leave you with a little bit more from Jen Brister.
I don't know how my mum coped with 4 children. I can't cope with 2. And it was hard in lockdown, wasn't it? It was hard.
And I think, and to know what to do with your children half the time. People got really upset when the playgrounds got closed, not me. I was delighted. I hate playgrounds. Have you been to a playground? And if you don't have kids, what are you doing at a playground, mate? What the... Not know this if you don't have children, but there is nothing for you to do there. And they know that grown-ups are there, they know that adults are there, but there's nothing for you to do there. And you're not just there for a couple of hours, you're there for days, weeks, months, you're there for years of your life, and you're bored out of your bloody brain just thinking, Jesus Christ, has time stood still? Some sort of makeshift shed is where they're selling neat gin, but there's nothing to distract you from the tedium of being in a playground. And for the first 2 years of your children's lives, you have to follow them around these places because you don't want them to die. So you're like, Danny, please be careful on the apparatus, on the climbing. Mama's here, Mama will catch you. But you know what? My children are 6 now, nearly 7. You think, great, you can just piss off. Two little narcissists. So it's not enough that they're up a slide if I'm not fucking watching them.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.